You know, I don't fear mistakes anymore, because I will get a learning out of it.
Right.
And out of that learning, something will happen. And I try really hard to instill that in my team, not to have a fear of not trying things, because for every 10 things you'll try, you'll find one thing that'll work. It'll not be the thing, in my experience, that you thought was going to work.
How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, my guest is Una O'Hagan, the founder of Mars Pharmacy. Today, we hear how she went from 1 to 10 pharmacies in a really short space of time, and now how she's building a massive online presence. She's one of the most curious, energetic, and interesting people working in Ireland today. Here's my chat with Una. Going green, becoming more sustainable, it's everywhere, right? Everyone wants to be greener and do their bit to help. But sometimes, for your business, there are more important things to do. It's hard to find the time. Well, take it out of your hands, because it's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. They have the time and the experts to sort it for you. And the best bit is, it'll help your business, save you time, money, and energy. Perfect, right? The Green for Business audit will assess your business and tell you where you can make changes. And the new energy efficiency grant will help you pay for those changes. And your local enterprise office will sort the whole process for you. Go to www.allinadayswork.ie/green, fill out the form that takes less than 2 minutes, and your local enterprise office will take it from there. Going green? It's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of the Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code FOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code FOX20 and elevate your marketing game today. Many of you listening to the pod are business owners and savvy investors, but have you been introduced to peer-to-peer lending? Peer-to-peer lending is the practice of lending money directly to other individuals or businesses without the need for a traditional intermediary like a bank. Property Bridges offers you the opportunity to lend directly to experienced home builders across Ireland through their innovative online investment platform. Investors earn returns of up to 9% per annum, and your money is fully secured against property. To learn more, visit propertybridges.com. Property Bridges is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Welcome
to the pod.
Thank you very much. It took a while to get me here, yeah.
You are one of the busiest people I know.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Bad thing, I think.
You're a grafter. I see you pop up online, offline, at conferences, any event I go to, you're there.
All events, I'm sure.
A lot of them. You're very proactive. And I guess that's kind of a theme we'll talk about today, is proactive. But how do you balance, you're literally just back from a big trip. How do you balance it all? As in, you're very, very proactive in terms of learning. Anytime I talk to you, you're talking about the next thing, learning. How do you balance that with work, with day to day?
I think I just have to take time out to prioritize that, because that is the thing that gives me energy, and that's the thing that keeps me ahead and makes me think about the next step. There's so much more we can do in our business. There's so much more I can do personally as a leader. So unless I kind of get that learning from somewhere, then I'm never going to be able to grow. And I think that's actually what I've learned, I suppose, over the years. To become a master of leadership, for example, then you need to put the time into that, and so therefore you need to schedule that time, and therefore you need to step away to make that time. Otherwise you're just stuck in the weeds. You're on the dance floor all the time. You're not on the balcony, so you kind of get to schedule
it. Cracking analogy to start. Yeah. We're off to a good start.
Yeah. Do you know? So I think you have, unless you schedule it, then you can't,
But so few entrepreneurs do, because I talk to so many of them and they all say the same thing. Or they all do the same thing. They're in their business, not on their business.
Yeah.
How do you have such a clear vision that you're like, no, I have to be on my business, not
yeah.
in my business.
Well, there's many days I am on that dance floor as well. Yeah, it's hard to get back up the stairs and onto the balcony, definitely day to day. But that is where I think that's my skill set. I am not skilled at some of the day to day things. I used to be a serious micromanager, always in the detail, and I would be the blocker, the absolute blocker of progression in the business. And I think I've just learned from my mistakes, really, Gary, there, and getting burnt out and trying to do everything and really annoying my team in terms of, you brought me on to do your job here.
Right.
And now, what are you doing micromanaging me, really, you know? And that's one thing I really believe in, the power of people. I always try to recruit people who are much better than me, more highly skilled than me, and then get out of their way.
Right.
Yeah. Because they're really good at doing that stuff. I am not skilled in that. Like, I am a pharmacist. I have no business skills whatsoever. No finance skills, no digital skills, no operation skills, no, you know, I am a pharmacist. My undergrad is in pharmacy. We learned about medicines. Mm. That's what I know about. I've learned everything else along the way from conferences or little courses I've done or whatever. So I am very much a generalist because I've picked up tidbits, but really what my qualification is in pharmacy. So when it comes to people management or when it comes to finance or it comes to operations or digital, whatever, you know, we have recruited amazing people who have that skill set much better than me. So the thing I need to do is get out of their way and let them get on with it. And I think for me, my job is really leading them, staying true to like where it is we're going, our vision, like making sure that our strategy is kept online, and always going back and looking at that and making sure, is that agile enough? Because things move so fast now. Do we need to refine it? Do we need to adapt? Opportunities come to us. Is that a good enough opportunity to align to where it is that we want to go to? Do we want to embrace that? If we do, what needs to come off to allow us to take that on, if that makes sense? That's what I am good at. And I need to stay on the balcony in order to do that, stay in my lane.
How did you start?
How did I start the business?
Yeah.
So I started, so I qualified in pharmacy, came down here from the north, studied in Trinity. And then at that time, this is like quite some years ago, nearly 30 years ago now, Gary. So at that stage, it was a 4-year degree course and 1 year where you worked under a tutor, guidance of a tutor. And then after that year, you sat your professional exam to get on the register.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas now today, it's a 5-year integrated master's program. So it's slightly different now. So I did my tutor year. My tutor was Pierce Maher on Bagot Street. And so he was my tutor. I worked for him for a year before I sat my professional exam. And that's where I knew Pierce. I'd worked with him for that full year. Loved the store. Loved everything about that family-run business, his mum's business since 1920s before they lived above. Of it. It was just embedded in the community.
It's a lot of history there, isn't there?
So much heritage, so much history, so much, you know, care for that community. And so I got a flavour of that in that year. And that it epitomises everything that pharmacy should be about. And I always, you know, I don't know, you even get goosebumps going into that pharmacy today. Yeah. I always dreamt of someday that this is where I could see myself for the rest of my life, if that makes sense.
It's rare in life you get those moments.
Yeah. And I got in the first day.
Really?
I got in the first day. Yeah. I got in the first day. So I always wanted to ask him until my very last day, if you're ever selling the business, would you let me know? And he said, yeah, of course I will. And to stop me crying, Gary, actually, because I was bawling crying, didn't want to leave, just to get me out the door. But anyway, 4 years later, he did phone me because, you see, his dream was always to be a lawyer. And he ended up doing pharmacy because he was the youngest of 4 children. He was continuing his mum's legacy, obviously.
Oh,
all
wow.
The rest of the kids before him, maybe one or two might have tried pharmacy and dropped out and went off and did their thing. So he was the last to take over the mantle.
So he had to do it.
Well, he felt he did.
Right.
And he ended up doing pharmacy. But actually what he really wanted to do was be a lawyer. So he was studying law at night time at that time when
Good
I
for
met him.
Him.
Yeah. So he went off and did that, qualified and everything. So then he decided to sell. And you know, he had an offer on the table, but it's from multinational, and he wanted to keep it in Irish hands. And so he did call me and he said, this is what I've been offered. You know, if you can match it, I'll sell it to you. I had no money. because I was just qualified.
That was my next question. I was like, how the hell do you buy a pharmacy?
Yeah, so I just like went around the houses as you do, knocking and, you know, begging. And I had no even deposit to put down, nothing to my name. I was in debt. Like, I was paying off my student loan to go to, you know, all the shenanigans I was up to in college. But eventually, yeah, somebody backed me and said that they would give me the loan. And that's the day, I suppose, my dream came true. So in 2001, 1st of September, and I became the owner of Morris Pharmacy. And that was one store back then. And then we've just grown over the years organically, really, 10 pharmacies today. And then back in 2014, we set up the online store, really in response to a lot of our customers asking for a click and collect model, because they were busy customers. We have stores like in Baggot Street, Barrow Street, very, you know, lots of banks, financial institutions, legal offices, or whatever. And so at that time, when we were all in the office, they were really busy and they only had an hour at lunchtime to, you know, get their sandwich or get their lunch and queue for that, and then queue for whatever it is that they needed from the pharmacy. And then sometimes we might not have it, and that was a waste of time. So they were basically saying, if you could just do a click and collect model, then we would know you have it, we could pay for it, we could just pop in, pick it up. And that's where the whole idea of doing an online version, because nobody in pharmacy was doing online at that stage. There was one guy in Donegal. So it was very, very new. But I knew it was the right thing to do, because every time we did a customer survey, it would pop up, right, you know. So we ventured into this world completely oblivious now to digital. But as soon as we did that, we took to social media to tell people that we had this service. And then people were engaging with us from all over Ireland, saying, oh, we would like that product too. We would like that service. And then we knew, actually, there's something in this. And as a result of that, then we went fully transactional. So we played around with online from 2014, really, up until, if you think, up to COVID, when it really took off then, because we had made all of our mistakes. We had resourced the team. We had the logistics really down to fine art at this stage through lots of mistakes.
I think that's the bit people miss, is that they forget how long it's going to be to get set up. They think, oh, I'll just set this up.
And then it doesn't work like that.
It's so hard. You can read all the books, you can go to all the conferences you want, but it's only when rubber meets road and you actually start doing it, you're like, oh, that doesn't work at all, because of some psychology thing people do. Oh, they don't like doing that. Oh, they must do this.
Like, absolutely. And people like shop differently online as they do in store, like, and people forget that as well. Yeah, they're looking for different things, obviously, and it's a different set of KPIs that you're looking at and everything. So just because you have you're a really good retailer, it's a different set of skills really for online. So, and I didn't cop that, I didn't realize that whenever we navigated into it, but I do understand it now.
Well, you wouldn't think it, like, so what's different, like, how do people shop differently?
Well, they're looking for, obviously, for value online. They're looking for, you know, in terms of the descriptions, reviews is really important, you know. So if you think yourself how you navigate through and choose something to shop online versus when you come into stores, very experiential. They might be looking to color match, they might be looking for a color of a lipstick or whatever. So touch and feel, smells, all of that.
Is it much different products then?
No, it's not necessarily different products, because what we find is there's a real blend between online and offline. So many people will come into store to try a certain brand or a skincare, or to touch and feel the texture of something, for example. And then once they try it and they're happy with it, they will repurchase online then. You know, so it's a very online, offline journey. So journey of discovery, really, and then maybe experience in store. So it might start online, come into store, then end up being a retained customer then online. So it's just understanding that whole journey and where all the different touch points is, you know, which we didn't really think about whenever we ventured into this world, but we definitely think about it a lot now today. So I guess online now, as a result of that, is a big part of the business, because during COVID then, when people were, you know, in lockdown and everything, people were shopping online. And because we were able to, we had the logistics in place and we had the space, etc., then we could scale the business. And that's when really it kind of took off in terms of international, because Irish people all over the world were looking to come home or send products to people at home, or Irish people were trying to send their loved ones, you know, a gift to tell them that they were worried about them or concerned about them, or show them that they care, you know, whether it be maybe a nurse that was working, you know, in London or somebody who was working in New York or whatever. So suddenly we were starting to, you know, ship to all over different countries, I'd say 70, 80 countries all over the world.
So consumer behaviour changed during COVID?
Totally. Totally changed. And actually, there was 2 or 3 weeks. It was really heartening actually to see it, because normally you would see when the person who places the order, it's coming to them like 99% of the time, I'd say, online, or 90%. But during COVID, there was weeks where the purchaser was sending it to a different address, like over 50%.
Really?
So people were buying things for other people. Yeah, yeah. Which was really heartening to see, actually, that people were thinking of others. But a lot of that was going outside of Ireland. And so now we ship, 80 countries, I would say, all over the world, maybe 90 at this stage. So, and it's really good to see. I often find that when I go through the airport, people come and stop with me and say, oh, I live in Dubai, or I live in, last time it was somebody in Abu Dhabi, I think, in the desert, like living, and you were the only person that I could talk to or engage with really from Ireland, and I was getting my orders sent out to the desert in Abu Dhabi, you know, which is
that just, is wild, isn't it?
That's wild, like, you know, it's just wild. I often meet people at the airport who say stuff like that to me during COVID, which is great to think that they had some sort of connection back home, because people felt very isolated, so it's great that we were able to do that.
So how big is the online business now?
It's a huge part of our business now, and as well, it's the part that probably has, in terms of reaching new markets, because we're all Dublin-based, like all of our stores are in Dublin, whereas it gives us an opportunity to talk to customers and to look after customers the length and breadth of the country, as well as outside of Ireland as well. So it's about that has a, you know, the highest growth and can scale further. It's a really significant part, and but it is so important for us also, the physical stores as well, because we are a pharmacy. We do provide pharmacy services. That's the core of who we are, and we do want to talk to people in person, because then we can really get to the nub of the problem, because people might buy things online, but they're buying maybe for a symptom, whereas actually what's going on for them is something completely different.
Right.
You know, what they're presenting with, for example, poor sleep, may actually be related to a hormone imbalance, whereas you can only get that information really whenever you take the time with them one-to-one to kind of figure out, well, what's causing the poor sleep, what else is going on in your life or whatever, and then you're actually able to treat the problem rather than the symptom, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So this kind of brings us on to kind of like proactive health. Like, you know, a lot of health is reactive. We talked about it over coffee. Like, you know, people go when they're sick. I know you're a big believer in proactive. I'm a big believer in kind of like dealing with things before they come up, get my bloods done regularly. What trends are you seeing emerging from people being proactive about their health?
Yeah, well, I definitely see there's been a swing now, especially since COVID, because I think if anything that COVID taught us is that, you know, your health is your wealth. We've always heard this. My granny used to always say this, but actually just making sure you're as healthy as you can be, your loved ones are as healthy as they can be, that's the most important thing. Everything else is secondary. All the material things are secondary. So I think that people are much more aware of, you know, of proactively looking after their health. And then whenever you talk about that, well, what does that even mean? Like, you know, what elements make up that your health? And we talk, you know, we've launched this new program in the business called Pharmacy 360, which is like looking at 7 different elements that we see. If you focus on those 7, then you are focusing on your overall health, because you could go on like a new nutrition journey, but do nothing about movement or exercise. Yeah. Or you could do something for, you know, looking after exercise, but you're really not addressing your sleep, you know. So it's really like a jigsaw puzzle, I often say, and it's part of all of these pieces. And
it's never one thing. It's never one thing because everything is connected.
Absolutely. Everything's connected. And if you focus on one thing only, you'll get a certain result. And yes, you will get a positive result. But if you focus on all 7 elements, even a smaller part of you is focusing on it, the sum of those parts will make up greater than the whole. So, so we talk a lot about, I suppose, everything from stress management to your sleep, to your nutrition, your movement, the connection you have to other people, because we know that connection, whether it be to your friends and your family or even to your pets, like our connection is so important to your health. We talked a little bit about loneliness, you know, and just how that is connected to your mental health. It's really significant.
I think we saw that during COVID. Like, absolutely. We're designed to be social creatures.
Yeah,
we're designed to do this.
Beings.
Like, we could have done this on Zoom. Yeah. It's not the same.
No.
It's not even remotely the same. If we had met, so we met a couple of times in person now, you know someone then.
Yeah.
If you meet on Zoom, you've just met them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Zoom is fine for maintaining relationships.
Yeah.
Don't think it's very good for building them.
Yeah, yeah. And there's an energy as well. You feed off somebody's energy. And if you're, you know, if you have a concern or you have a worry and you are able to share that with another human being, we all know a problem shared is a problem halved. So those connections are really important, and really spending time to build on those connections is really important. So, and there's a huge Harvard study. It's gone on generations now. I think it was started maybe in the 1940s or maybe even before, that has tracked this in Boston, you know, where they had a study of tracking students. It was students in Harvard and also just people in the community in Boston. And they've tracked them through all the generations. And basically, the long and short of the whole study is those people who live happier, healthier, longer in that study are the people who have very strong connections in their, you know, whether they be their family or whether they're involved in community activities and so on and so forth. So this is real. And people just need to prioritize, I guess, their connections. And
because it isn't. Because it's not tangible or measurable or numerical.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing in the world. It's overlooked so much.
Exactly. Just, you know, schedule in time for that. And when you're with your loved ones, put away the phone, put away everything. Yeah. Just be present, you know. Make the use of that time, that valuable time, connecting with others that, you know, both of you get something really positive out of it. So, yeah, so those connections to other people and then the connections to yourself, because that's your why, really, Gary, you know? Mm. Like, why would you put on your trainers at 6 a.m? Why would you be jumping and I'm doing cold water, getting in a pool of cold water? Like, why am I doing that each morning? So it's like, you know, if you can connect to your why, why is it you want to be healthy, then everything else falls into place. That's the thing that'll make you cook your meal rather than eat the processed foods. That's the thing that'll get the trainers on or whatever. So, and your why changes, you see, as you go through life. You know, when I was younger, you know, it was all about having the energy to go out with my friends. Now, as a mum, I want to be healthy to be around for my grandchildren to come, you know. So your why changes, and just knowing your why, because once you connect to that, that's your purpose of making better choices. So these 7 different elements, we explore in that to really get, I guess, our customers and our followers to think a little bit more holistically about their health. You know, it's not just about taking a supplement, or it's not just about getting a prescription medicine. That, you know, yes, those are really, really important. But, you know, if you actually look at your lifestyle and adjust that, as well as, you know, taking whatever medication that you're being prescribed as well, then that can make a huge, huge difference to your overall health and well-being. So proactive healthcare for me is about stepping back, really, and trying to catch things before they develop in the first place. So I guess for us as a business, we try and spend a huge amount of time educating, really, on why it is that you would want to look after, whether it be your gut health or know more about your hormone health or whatever. Because once you have that knowledge, you know, knowledge is useless unless you do something about it. So it's about the actions that you take, really. So, but I feel like as long as we're sharing that knowledge, people feel a little bit more empowered, and then they're clever enough to make their own decisions, to make whatever choices that they need to make.
It's knowledge without activity, right? It's knowledge without taking action. I think how do you kind of like get that message across? Because we talked about this earlier, there's so much noise. Mm. Like, we're surrounded by noise of conflicting reviews, conflicting opinions. That's really good. That's really bad. Don't do this, do this, do that. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you, as a professional in this area, try to cut through that noise?
Well, it's really important that we understand all of the different analysis on, you know, I think we talked about a particular supplement or whatever that we do. We look at all of those clinical papers ourselves, and it can be like 10, but sometimes it can be 500, you know. So I always look at meta-analysis, and just to see an analysis of all of the clinical papers to see actually what does the evidence say, because we are pharmacists and we are trained to be very scientific and to be looking for the clinical evidence. So, and that's really important to me, even when it comes to supplementation and stuff, because this is an unregulated market completely. So whenever we're taking new brands into the business, I will always look for which of the brands that have you know, clinical evidence behind them, that they have, that they're good manufacturing processes, that they have thought about the delivery system, that they have, you know, the supplement in a concentration, in a dosage that is going to have some sort of impact. It's not just there to tick a box in a small amount, if that makes sense. And also that, you know, that is in a good form, that not a synthetic form, you know. So we have a checklist, I guess, of things that we look for. And the number one thing, though, is that clinical evidence. And has it been third-party tested rather than tested necessarily by, you know, the brand themselves, if that makes sense? Right. So have they put the investment into the research and development to actually show that this actually works? So, and that's what differentiates, I suppose, one thing from another, and that's what will absolutely get us behind a certain brand to be part of their story. And then it's usually, like, you know, it's our customers' feedback. So we, again, like online, people leave reviews all of the time, and people leave, you know, are very happy to share their own story. And then, you know, actually, it's not just you who thinks that, if that makes sense. There's thousands of other people that this is really happening. So it nearly builds into a community about that particular topic or that particular product or whatever.
Yeah, the wisdom of the crowd. You kind of get an overall consensus. So people should look for clinical evidence if they're looking at new supplements or new things.
I think
look at the clinical evidence, because there is so much noise online. You're like, and I consider myself pretty savvy in this area, and sometimes you're like, I actually don't know, because I've heard four or five different opinions and they all seem pretty valid. So I think there's a huge space there for people like pharmacists, because we talked about earlier, the health system is pretty jammed.
Yeah.
A lot going on in the health system at the minute. They're fighting their own battles. So, like, you do need that trust. So I think trust has kind of been destroyed in a lot of areas, in terms of, like, the media is very untrusted now. Obviously, you know, doctors are trusted, but there's definitely that other place that people need to go. Like, pharmacy does seem like the logical step, whereby there's actually time, they've got the expertise, and they've got the products to actually help you.
Yeah, and we actually have the trust, because in the last MRBI study, in Ireland, number one profession was pharmacists above everybody else. And I think that's just it. We're accessible.
That's the big part.
We're accessible. We're trained. We're very knowledgeable. People can come and see us. You know, I said to you before, we have a private room in every pharmacy in the country. It's a legal requirement. So people don't feel like you have to stand at the counter and, you know, talk about whatever issue.
I've got this fungal nail. Can you just have a quick look?
Or this spot on my whatever. You know, so, so you don't have to feel like that. You can say, could I have a quiet word? Would you mind? And that means, you know, I would like to step into the consultation room.
What's the story of the consultation room? Because I remember them coming out going, that's a really good idea. But I think I've been in one once. I had to get a flu shot. And literally they walked away and left me sitting in there. And I was like,
"Oh, right, okay."
Well, I guess we're finished then. It was not a good experience.
That's not a good experience, no.
It was not good.
It wouldn't happen in Mars.
No, it was definitely not Mars. I'll caveat that. But I don't see it used.
We're probably not very good as a profession to even explain that we have this, you know, as a good resource. So, yeah, we probably need to shout a bit more as an industry about this. But, yeah, we do, under law, we all have a consultation room. And so I would encourage anybody who wants to have a quiet word, because, listen, it's difficult to even get in to see your GP. You could be waiting weeks, you know.
Crazy.
I know, So, but we are, you know, we are very trained. We're definitely on medications, definitely in lifestyle. You know, all of our pharmacists are well trained on supplements. Implementation. So you can come in, you can discuss anything you're concerned about, you know, privately with a trained professional. That's the key thing. You talk about misinformation out there, everybody claims to be an expert. You've got to go to the trusted sources. So, you know, and that's what I would encourage people to do. But definitely use that consultation room, speak to your pharmacist. You know, we do things like, you know, free blood pressure checks, you know, so even between doctor's visits, you can come in to get that reassurance and that peace and that comfort and to tease this out, back to connections again with somebody else, get the worries out of your head, talk to a professional. You can keep a record of whether it be your blood pressure or whether it be, I don't know, maybe your weight, you're on a weight loss journey or whatever it is, so that you have, I suppose, a person to hold you to account to the different changes that you're making in between maybe a consultant visit or a GP visit or whatever, because that's what I firmly believe in. I think that you're right, the healthcare system is so jam-packed at the minute, but we're all still working in silos. And during COVID, that was a really good thing. We started to work very much more in collaboration, because GPs couldn't see patients. And so therefore, they lent on us to do, you know, to be that conduit. And the same with hospitals. Sure, we couldn't get to a hospital appointment. So a lot of tertiary appointments were cancelled and patients were coming to see us. So really, we need to take the positive learnings out of COVID as well, whenever we had that positive collaboration. And I firmly believe in that. I think that we're one part, a really important part of the healthcare system. And we do a lot of signposting to different people because we're so accessible. But we need to do so much more with our GP colleagues, with our consultants, to give a better patient experience. The patient needs to be at the core of everything, and we keep that patient and what their concerns are and figure out how do we wrap around the services around them. And I think we all need to be involved in that, all working with the patient in mind.
What's happening in Ireland at the minute? Because I read a stat from the HSE website last week about it being the second worst country in Europe for obesity.
For obesity,
in terms of rising rates.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, what's going on is ultra-processed foods and soft drinks and the way we eat and the way, you know, stress and the way we're living. The number one thing is our diet and how we're, what we're consuming, you know. So the hidden sugars and things, you know, all of those ultra-processed foods cause an inflammatory reaction in our body. Our body doesn't recognize it. And, you know, anything that's on that side of that package you don't recognize, you can't pick out of your cupboard, causes inflammation in the body.
So what's like ultra processed? What would fall into that category?
Anything that has a stabilizer in it, or it has, you know, anything you're sticking in the microwave. Anything that lives or looks like it's living for a week and it shouldn't be, you know. Anything that, you know, you're reheating, or like look at the cereals that are on the market, you know, in the morning. Look at the things we're putting into the microwave. Look at the things where that has so many hidden sugars, low fat this, low fat that. Low fat means that they put something in it to make it palatable, so that here's where your hidden sugars come in. So people
bad.
Think like, they're doing something
it's
good.
It's toxic the way people can advertise high protein, low fat, and you're like,
yeah. So what is in it then? What is in it then? Yeah. You know, so we just have to be so careful about what we're consuming. And I think always check the back of the packet. Look, and I'm not saying get obsessed by this, but if you see loads of ingredients there, you know, that you don't recognize, that you can't find in your press, then that's either a stabilizer, a preservative, an E number, or whatever. And that, when you take it into your body does not recognize it neither. It treats it like a pathogen, as if it's something that's coming in to cause you harm, and your body's reaction to that is inflammation. And we know that inflammation is the core of all chronic illnesses.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, a hormone imbalance, whether it be a metabolic condition, whether it be cardiovascular, whether it be mental health, that inflammation in your gut causes inflammation in your brain, which is one of the primary reasons why we have a chronic problem with depression and anxiety in this country.
Really?
Yeah, globally. So it's what we're eating. It's what we're eating that is a main problem in terms of obesity. And also how we're living the stress in our lives, that sort of, we get into this chronic stage of stress, which we actually think is normal now, where we've elevated levels of cortisol and adrenaline in our system, and our system is constantly in this fight or flight system.
The busy trap, like everyone's busy again. Yeah. I'm like, well, a few years ago, we were all chilling at home and the world still spun.
Absolutely.
We've got back in that busy trap of just been endlessly busy. Busy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're like, just take some time out
and
here.
People think that that's gives, you know, adds value to their character, and it's not.
No.
Like, I mean, you just...
It's not a good sign.
It means that whenever you're like that, that you have a heightened level of cortisol in your body, and that cortisol is causing all sorts of oxidative stress, which is causing inflammation, which is a precursor of all chronic diseases.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It means you haven't got your shit together as well, if you're being honest. It means you're not managing yourself. It means you're not managing your workload. It means you're prioritizing the wrong things. But it's fascinating that so much of it comes from food. I think we don't really understand this. Like, there's definitely a gap in our information.
Yeah.
Talking to Gary Lavin from VidHit a few weeks ago about this, and he's a big believer in that, that like people don't really understand what's going on, and just kind of a willing ignorance there.
Yeah.
Like,
also the advertising and everything. You're talking about a very powerful industry in the world, and you know, even when you think you're doing good, like eating lots of fruit and vegetables, like, you know, so many of them travel from halfway around the world and are sprayed with all sorts of pesticides and preservatives and everything to keep them fresh and give them a bit of color by the time you buy them here in Ireland. And that, like, all of those are toxins we're taking into our body.
That's kind of my latest bugbear. I'm kind of walking around like, shopping centers. I was going to name them there. Yeah. I'm walking around shops, I'm kind of going, this doesn't really make sense, right? This came, my poor wife, this came from Peru. But like, how is this 70 cent?
Exactly.
It doesn't,
it doesn't really add up.
Like, yeah. And I'm kind of going, that doesn't actually make sense how it was grown. You know, farmer invested a year of his life or her life to grow this. Picked it, harvested, shipped it, got on a ship, shipped over here, got in a truck, got in a... There's so many steps.
Yeah, so many steps, and it's there in front of you for 70 pence or whatever, yeah? So something's not adding up, yeah? And it looks like you just picked it off the tree. Yeah?
And you're trying to be good. That's the thing.
You're trying to be good.
Blueberries,
yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, you're fully antioxidants. Like, I'd be very strict on my diet, on my health, and you're always trying to make good decisions. But even when you're trying to make good decisions, you're now going down the layer going,
is this a good decision? Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
You fall down the rabbit hole of like, God, I'm
starting to question everything you're doing. Yeah. But listen, I think that in terms of that, you know, try and shop local, try and make sure that it's, you know, growing in Ireland or whatever, because then it's a more sustainable choice, isn't it? And also you're supporting the local economy, you know? So if you can, shop local, shop in season. Yeah. So get the fruit and the vegetables that are actually in season rather than out of season. So those little practical things will mean that the fruit and the vegetables are probably not sprayed with as many, you know, with the things that they have to be sprayed off to come from Peru in order to stay fresh. Because once you pick anything from a tree or a bush, it's now the clock is ticking. There's no water source to that. So it is dying.
What about frozen stuff? What about frozen berries, frozen veg?
Good. Like, frozen keeps the nutritional content of everything. You know, I use frozen berries very often in the kids' smoothies and everything. So
that's what I've been doing. That's been kind of my hack of like, right, okay, I think there's a way around this because I love frozen blueberries. Frozen blueberries, Greek yogurt. That's divine. My go-to.
There you go. So just, I think you're right that guy that you talked about, there's a lack of awareness around us. So
but like you said, you are fighting against psychology, you are fighting against really slick marketing campaigns, you're fighting against, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, get this, get this, get this. And we are bombarded by convenience, you know. Like a couple of years ago, you'd have struggled to get anything. Now it's at your fingertips. We can literally order delivery right now to get sent here, whatever crap we want. And you're kind of going, convenience is too convenient sometimes, that like some people don't know how to cook. Genuinely, absolutely. I was talking to some recently, they're like, oh no, I never cook. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, do you mean like rarely or like never? Never. Like, what do you eat? I just get to take out and eat out all the time. A, really expensive. Good for you. But B, also like all the crap that's in that food. All the stuff that you don't know.
And like cooking, you know, is a social activity as well. You can involve the kids in it. Cooking from scratch is very therapeutic. And then if you batch cook, that's what I do. Batch cook on
it's quite
Sunday.
Satisfying as well.
Yeah, it is quite satisfying. Then you know you're set up at least for 2 or 3 days, whatever it is. If you even do three things, I usually do a chili and a, you know, a curry and maybe a shepherd's pie or something.
Same,
you know.
That's my go-to.
Go-to that, you know, I've got that. There's things that you know what's in it, you've cooked it from scratch, it's in the freezer, it's easy to take out the night before. But involving the kids in all of that is, you're teaching them life skills as well, you're teaching them about the nutritional content, you have conversations about it, you're not sitting down and it's not, you're not making it, you know, it's practical, I guess. And so they're learning as well. So I think it's a really good thing to do on so many levels, not only just in terms of what you're taking into your body, but actually educating your children socially and satisfying to yourself, fulfilling to yourself as well.
Yeah. So we talk about brain, body and business on this. You're kind of the ideal guest to want to run through all these three different categories. How do you look after your brain?
Well, kind of back to that whole Pharmacy 360 thing, looking at all of those elements, you know, I do believe firmly in we are what we eat, or we are what we can absorb in a way. So my nutrition, I've gone on a whole journey of this myself, because I had chronic IBS growing up, Gary, and, you know, suffered terrible with that, particularly at times of stress and exams and everything, you know, it was really debilitating. So I've gone on a journey, a gut health journey, I suppose, which has brought me on a nutritional journey. So that is definitely a huge thing I focus on. The whole stress management, because, you know, it's busy and you're trying to manage a lot of different stores now and an online business and, you know, home. And
when you say stress management, what do you mean by that? Like, how do you manage it?
Yeah, so it's just anything that will take me out of that sympathetic fight and flight system and turn on my parasympathetic nervous system. So, and to do that, you know, you can't have the sympathetic working with the parasympathetic. So it's how do you stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system so that the others turns off? And for me, there's so many ways to do this, and you've got to find your own thing, I guess, in all of this. And I would very much be very open to exploring lots of new things in that all of the time. But definitely exercise is one. Cold water therapy is another. So that's why loads of people jump in the sea. I don't, you know, by the time I get into the car and drive to the sea and back again every day, that's not practical for me day to day. I'd do it at the weekend though. But I got a little, you know, cold water pod or whatever, and I get into that in the mornings. Yeah. So meditation is huge for me.
Okay.
Deep breathing is huge for me. I would do that every day.
Right.
And have done for, I'm going to say, 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So you had it before it was cool.
Yeah, well before it was cool. Yeah, well before. I'm a huge believer in meditation, huge believer. And listen, I talk to a lot of, you know, in my business, a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists. Deep breathing is as good as using any kind of medication in terms of taking your stress levels down. So, and that's just an art to perfect that yourself. So, you know, so it's finding what works for you. For me,
yeah,
that's
it's personal,
the kind of thing.
Isn't it? Like, yeah. I always think of things as 80-20, right? The 80% of the fundamentals.
Yeah.
The nutrition, the sleep, the diet. And then it's the 20% is for me.
Yeah.
What works for me? Because what works for me might work for you.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for the silver bullet. I'm sure you hear this all the time. Everyone's looking for the one thing, right? Yeah. What's the one thing though?
No.
What's the one thing? There's no one thing.
Yeah.
Because what's one thing for me might be one thing for you, might be for Ben. It varies, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So they're all things you do for your brain. I suppose there's a lot of overlap between body then. What are your fundamentals for looking after your body?
Yeah, well, I definitely exercise. So so what I do, like I'm now like in, I'm 52 yesterday, Gary. So I'm
congratulations.
Definitely.
Happy birthday.
No, thank you. That's
looking
a privilege.
Fantastic.
Do you know, it is a privilege to, you know, to make it to your 50s. I unfortunately lost a really good friend of mine just after he turned 50 to motor neuron disease. So I often find, and I've lost loads of friends to cancer. So it's a privilege to make it this far and to be healthy and to know that everything I've done, I suppose, particularly in my 30s and 40s, because the earlier you get this and the earlier you start working on it, it is just building it up for the future. There's, yes, you can start at any age, but the quicker that you start, you are setting yourself up for a longer, healthier, happier life for
the
sure.
Power of compounding.
It is compounding.
I think of this every day. Am I taking tiny wins or tiny losses?
Mm-hmm.
Every day. If I take a tiny win every day, that's going to compound over a year, 2 years, 5 years. I think of it in terms of my daughter. So my daughter's 19 months now. I'm like, right, you want to be around for as long as possible. You want to have as much fun as possible. You want to move as much as possible with her. Why would you not exercise? Why would you not be disciplined and rigorous with yourself so that you can enjoy this for the next 50 years?
Exactly, exactly. And people, you know, my mum and dad are so healthy and they're in their 70s. I have, you know, aunts and uncles who are well into their 80s, are out every day walking. So, like, by the time I'm that age, you know, I should be like, definitely going with my genes into my hundreds. Like, that's my goal. Like, definitely to live to over 100. Yeah. I want to be, and I see some of our customers who come into our stores in Canvara, especially, they're out gardening every day and they walk in completely unaided, not a bother, and they're over 100.
But those things are linked, right? People think, oh, it must be good genes. Yeah, there's a bit of genes, but there's also like purpose,
absolutely,
exercise, diet,
connection to the community. All the things that we're talking about here, they're in every day. They're
you
gotta connected.
Do the work. It's about anything. Got to do the work. So, like, looking after your brain, your body, you got to do the bloody work. Like, you know, people expect this magic thing of like, oh, I'm just not healthy. And you're like, yeah, because you're very deeply unhealthy. Like, you are an unhealthy person in your habits and your practices.
But that's so back to the why, I think, Gary. You know, if you can connect to, like, why do I want to be? What is this all about? Like, you know, then you do have your own purpose. And then the decisions are easier to make, I think, you know. But anyway, I'm in this sort of frame now of menopause. So I've gone to that stage. So for me, like, exercise needs to include weight bearing exercises. Mm-hmm. So I do weights now and, you know, a bit of yoga and Pilates as well. So my exercise, I suppose, has changed from really cardio all of the time to to where I'm at now, which is much more of a blend. Started playing paddle tennis as well.
I really need to get in this. I went to Spain last year and it was huge. Everywhere, and I love a good bandwagon. I need to get involved here. This is going to be a big trend.
I'm doing
high rocks at the minute. That's a really big trend. If I can get the high rocks and the paddle in, I'll be ticking all the bandwagon boxes.
Well, come here. It's great because you're getting your exercise, but it's actually really social as well because you've got four people there, you know. So it's actually, nobody takes it too serious. Well, I certainly don't take it too serious, but you're catching up with three other people. Yeah. So like you're doing two things there and that, you know, it's a good hour, good. And it's kind of like a blend between, I suppose, squash and tennis or whatever, but I really enjoy that now. Yeah, so it's really, listen, come here, it's just doing again, finding your thing, you know.
Yeah.
I never thought I would be into paddle tennis. You try a couple of different things and it's remarkable what actually lands or what you actually feel.
What can you stick with? You know, exactly. It can't be miserable. You can't be dragging your arse to it every day going, oh, I hate this. You got to find stuff that's enjoyable. The best, like, it's like anything. It's like the best business, the best workout, the best diet is when you'll stick to it. What can you do day after day, year after year, and it doesn't just drain you?
Yeah, that's sustainable. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
so that's body and brain. And then let's get into the business side of things, because you touched on it briefly, but I'm conscious I want to talk about Maris and talk about you and your business side of things as well. So you've 10 pharmacies now.
Yeah, 10.
That's whopper.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a privilege, you know, 10 different communities that we're lucky to serve, 10 different, you know, communities that we can make a positive impact in.
So what's been the fundamentals in growing? Because going from 1 to 10 is significant. Like, what have been the fundamentals along the way that have helped you grow?
Definitely people, number one. Yeah. So just having really good people in each of the stores that really care, and will go above and beyond really for our customers.
How do you find those people? Because I talk to every business owner and almost every one of them says, you know, people, either I'm struggling to find people or I can't find good people or it's hard to keep good people.
Yeah.
How do you find them? Yeah. And then how do you keep them?
So I suppose I've learned again over the years, it's really important to have like-minded people in our business so that we all have a certain set of core values that connect us, you know. So in interview, we would be looking for those core values.
What are they? Give us the full insight here. Don't tease it and then go, oh, core values.
So we look for customer first is our number one value. So that is like going to extraordinary lengths for customers. So we'd be looking for evidence of that. What's the last really kind thing you've done for somebody? Yeah, so we're looking for kindness and empathy and compassion and care really there. So really teasing that out, because we work in retail, but it's healthcare. It's a different type of retail, and usually people come through our doors are coming for a health reason, and as a result they may have had just bad news, you know, got a diagnosis, somebody in their family has a diagnosis, or their health is not well and that's why they're coming in to us. So it's that compassion and empathy is super, super important, and you need to be able to adapt that behavior in pharmacy depending on who comes through the door. So it might be an elderly one of our customers. How you're going to approach that customer is very different to, say, for example, you're down in our Barrow Street store and it's somebody coming in from Google, and it's a different stuff is going on in there.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to adapt your skill. So that emotional intelligence is really important for us. So customer first is number one, then community is second. And for that, what we're looking for are people who really want to make a positive impact in the community, because pharmacy makes a big impact in community. It's not just about what we dispense and the products we give out. It's actually we infiltrate the community. We want to be a part of that community that we're in, whether it be that we're doing, you know, events around to educate around, like you just talked about obesity there, or diabetes. And, you know, some of our pharmacies in some particular locations dispense huge amount of diabetic medicines because of the lifestyle in that area. So we like to take a topic and educate the community on it, not just single customers. So we'll do lots of events around things like that and work, say, with our GP colleagues in order to actually work together for the purpose of the community, if that makes sense. So community is really important. Then the next one is expert advice. So we are looking for people who really want to always learn more. Every day is a learning day. And they want to know what's the next thing that's coming and have a quest for learning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have that interest in it so that, you know, we have so many different brands and products on our shelves or whatever. That's one thing, but to know how they work, I guess, and to have an interest in that and want to continuously learn and develop and engage with our learning and development programs. Yeah. So that's the third thing. So that's what we're looking for. Then positivity is a big thing for us. So again, you know yourself, you go into a store, doesn't matter what store it is, if you don't have a positive experience, you know, it's not about, you know, what you say or what you do. It's about, you know, how did you make me feel? Yeah.
Good service is rare.
Yeah.
So across the board, I'm not picking up pharmacies here. Good service is pretty rare nowadays. Genuinely good service. You're like, hey, Gary, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. It's genuinely rare.
Exactly. So we want to kind of be a team of day makers rather than transaction takers.
Love that.
Make our customers' day. Yeah.
Like that.
The whole purpose is to put a smile on their face so they walk out feeling a little bit better or than when they walk through the door.
Mm.
Yeah. So we're looking for that in an interview as well. So it's that positive outlook, that solution focus, because there's always a fire to put out in pharmacy every day. You know, there's always some drug out of stock. There's always some logistic chain and the supply chain issue. You can look at that really negatively and you can, you know, give out about that. But that is the reality we live in today, unfortunately. So it's finding solutions and having that positive outlook. So we look for that in an interview stage. That's how important, I suppose, that all is to us. Yeah. And then the other is innovation, pushing boundaries. So always trying to, and when we mean innovation, sometimes I talk to people about innovation, they kind of think, oh, it's developing a new product or a new service or whatever. It's not. For us, we're just trying to always make things a little bit better, a little bit slicker. If the same problem is happening day to day in pharmacy, whether it be orders coming in or something to do with back of house, not even necessarily front of house, you know, okay, well, let's figure out a way to actually make this easier, you know, to be a little bit more efficient, because if we can do that, we can spend more time with our customers. So we're looking for people who display those characteristics at interview stage. So we will ask a series of questions around that. Yeah. And then how do we keep people engaged and stay? It is about engagement, really. So we work really hard, I suppose, in keeping that culture alive that really was instilled in me when I worked with Pierce way back then. You know, we're a family business. Sorry, I forgot to mention that as the last value. We're a family business and we treat each other with that kind of respect, knowing that not everybody's the same. We celebrate diversity, I guess. We're all very different and we embrace that, you know. And we don't get irritated just because you don't know how to know, you know, what I know or whatever. So together, we're stronger.
Like. Right.
So it's a lot about respect and in that, and just celebrating that diversity and just treating each other like family members. And that's what we mean by that. So we do a lot of engagement, I guess. So training and development for, so we're trying to dial up each one of those six core values throughout, I suppose, your journey in Mars. And that's what people stay for. They stay for the culture. They stay for each other. They stay for the team. They stay for the camaraderie. We're members of a great place to work. We put a huge focus on that because that's an outside body analysing what we're doing,
right?
To see whether or not we do have the culture. Because you can say you have all the culture and everything.
It's such an overused buzzword.
Absolutely.
So many companies. And you look at them and you're like, you're in the paper every week for after firing 1,000 people. You're definitely not a great place to work.
Exactly. Whereas this is an outside accredited, you know, where they come in, it's an, you know, our people fill in an anonymized survey. We never see. But what we get out as a result of that is huge insights in terms of how people feel about working from ours. So then we have a benchmark compared to other businesses within the Great Place to Work. And we know what we're doing well, but we also know what we have to work at. And really the ultimate goal there is they measure trust. Do you trust your manager? Do you trust the business? Do you trust the leadership team? And they look at different sections of that, I suppose. They break it down into pride. Do you have pride working here? What gives people pride? They want to be involved. And so you can get into that granular level, that sort of commitment piece. They look at, you know, do you feel part of, you know? So there's all different elements to it, Gary, but really it all encompasses in trust. And so we will take that, and that's why we're involved in it. And we use those insights to adapt what we need to do for our people in order to deliver better for them. Because we know that if they're happy at work, then they're going to be happier experience to our customers. And and as a result of that, the business is going to do better. It's all linked to this. This is real, like, you know. So we need to work with people to make sure that Mars is a place where they are putting on their coat in the morning and they want to come to work. It's not a drag. But I would hate anybody to be working in our business who didn't really want to be there.
Do you enjoy owning your own business?
I love it. It's great. Every day's different.
What was your psychology in expanding, going from 1 to 10? Because it sounds like it was a very natural progression. You loved working with peers. Because I'm always curious about what makes people go from 0 to 1. So not everyone would have said, oh, let me know if you're ever selling. 99% of people wouldn't have done that. They're like, oh, let me know if you're ever hiring. You know, there's a very different psychology there. So what is that within you?
I think it's probably a curiosity. I think I have a curious mind. And, you know, I I wanted to ask him that question all that whole year, and it was only at the tipping point, and I nearly didn't, you know, I nearly didn't. So I think that I do push myself outside into a zone. I do recognize that in myself, that that's where the magic happens, when I get outside that sort of comfortable area or the area that I'm used to doing day to day. When I create a little bit of friction and step into a bit of the unknown, even though sometimes it terrifies me, I will learn something. Now, I might make a mistake, but that's okay. You know, I don't fear mistakes anymore because I will get a learning out of it.
Right.
And out of that learning, something will happen. And I try really hard to instill that in my team, not to have a fear of not trying things, because for every 10 things you'll try, you'll find one thing that'll work. It'll not be the thing, in my experience, that you thought was going to work. It'll be something left field that you either dismissed and sort of thought, that's not going to work, or that you kind of, you know, have always wanted to do it. It's always been there, but you'd never ever really give it the fire to get it going. A good example would be during COVID, like we launched digital pharmacies, we'd launched a digital doctor, we'd launched loads of digital services. That had been in our strategy document for nearly 8 years. But we never gave it the fire. We knew it was always, I always knew there was something in that. And until COVID happened, then we knew we had to do it. And we were able to do it in 6 weeks. And the reason always that we never did it, oh, it would take a huge investment, take years, whatever. We were able to do it in 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
Do you know?
That's why I call it the entrepreneur experiment, because I firmly believe in my heart, all businesses, all good businesses are just a series of experiments run over and over.
Absolutely.
Over and over and over again until you find one that works. Okay, keep doing that. Now on to the next thing. Try, fail, learn, repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep trying. Mm-hmm. That's what the pod is all about.
Hopefully, you're listening to the pod and you're feeling inspired. Maybe you want to do new things in your own business, or maybe you have that brilliant idea you've always wanted to bring a little bit further and see if it works. So why not right now? You listen to the majority of the guests in this show, and they've been helped by the local enterprise office at some stage in the journey. They have something for everybody. Whether you have that idea you want to develop, you want to get your products to new markets, you want to innovate your existing products, or you want to expand staff and premises, they have the supports to help. So why not today? If you want to start up or grow your business, then contact your local enterprise office today.
What's next then? Because you've had an incredible journey, but like your energy is literally infectious coming across the table. Like you clearly are, obviously Pharmacy 360. Is that the next big thing?
I think there's so much more we can do in healthcare. I think that, you know, we do work in healthcare, Gary, instead of in sick care. And often I think that people think of pharmacy as a place you just visit when you're sick. And we don't want to be that. We want to be the pharmacy that is, you know, that people think about staying well, you know. So we want to be in that space of proactively looking after your health. And I know, you know, it's so mad whenever I can see a patient's journey. If you were to map it out, you know, at the age of 80, maybe haven't developed diabetes, cardiovascular problems, whatever, you can nearly predict, you know, 20 years ago that, you know, you see one medicine, then you see another added, then another added. You know, there is a journey there for the majority of people. Well, what I want to do is to interrupt that journey away back here and say, do you know if you do X, Y, and Z, you can prevent all of this, which not only is a prevention of all of that pain for that customer, but for their family members as well. Because like a ripple, you know, it's like a pebble, and all of this affects your partner, your children, your loved ones. So by interrupting that and doing all you can to stop whatever that chronic illness might be, then you can live a very different life, and it will have a positive impact to all those people around you as well. So that is what I am going to be focused on. So it's going to be very much more about proactive care. And in that will come, you know, that Pharmacy 360, those elements, but also, you know, health screening. How can we do this? How can we make it much more accessible for patients? Is that going to be a blend of in person and also digitally, perhaps? You know, so anywhere in that sphere where we can proactively make health interventions, that's where I think the future is going to be.
Lovely. I would agree with that 1,000%. I think that is longevity and being healthier for longer is just, I think it's going to be one of the biggest mega trends we see. I think it'll come slower than we think. I think there's definitely people like me and you who are drinking the Kool-Aid. We get it. But yeah, I think the vast majority, but I think it needs people like you. It needs people out the front going, look, this is what we see. This is what we know. This is what is happening. So I ask everyone, what's your founder formula for success? So what are the elements that make up success for you personally?
I think for success, I always felt, Gary, that success brought happiness. But actually what I've grown to learn is that happiness leads to fulfillment, which leads to success.
Happiness plus fulfillment equals success.
Correct.
Love it. Thank you very much. Let's do a quick fire round.
Okay.
What book would you recommend every entrepreneur should read?
Face the Fear and Do It Anyway. Susan Jeffers, I think it is.
Face the Fear and Do It Anyway. I don't think we've had that before.
Oh, really?
What's her name?
Susan Jeffers, I think.
Susan Jeffers. Okay, perfect. What's something you'd learn the hard way?
To diversify my business. The time of the economic crisis, we were very much like 90% of our business was within the HSE's hands. And when there was huge amount of cuts that were made, like a 38% cut to like our structure, fee structure, that left us in a very scary place with, I think, we 23 days notice. I learned the hard way not to have all my eggs in one basket and to diversify.
What have you sacrificed to achieve your success?
Time with my family, time with my children, time with my husband, time with my parents, time, yeah. So I've learned, you know, we talked about scheduling earlier. Got to schedule these things, you know, because otherwise it doesn't get done. Got to put it in, lock it in, schedule it, because that's the important stuff.
My calendar runs my life. Everything goes in there. Not on the calendar, doesn't happen.
Well, there you go.
Everything. Stuff like that. Even down to like family time, commuting time. Everything goes in there.
Has to go in the calendar.
It's not a priority if it doesn't go in there, because you have to make it a priority. What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
Oh, I would take all my family on a major, major holiday, like something really like where you actually have somebody to pick you up at the door and take you places and whatnot. Like,
where would you go?
I'd do a couple of different places. So I would check with like my mum and dad where they would want to see, and I would, you know, the kids and Ronan and, you know, my sisters, my brother. I'd do a round the world probably trip, but I would make it that, you know, we were touching lots of different experiences, cultural experiences, and touching, you know, different things that everybody wanted to see. So I'd do that. I'd buy a little house in Tuscany. It's my happy place. Those trees speak to me.
I love specific answers. I like this. Keep going.
Yeah. And I'd probably clear any debt on the business and, yeah, take, you know, any kind of pressure off. Yeah. So,
I like good answers. I hate when people give me wishy-washy answers. Oh, I like specifics. Come on, we've all thought about it. We've all played the game where you're driving along. You're like, oh, the lotto's 8 million tonight. What would you do?
Yeah.
Play this every week. Okay. What's something in your daily routine you wish you started sooner?
Probably my morning routine. I think, you know, Jerry Hussey always says, win the morning, win the day. I believe that. You know, I think if you set off with a very positive outlook for the day, you're going to be much more productive. You're going to get stuff done. You're going to feel better. You're going to feel a bit more fulfilled. So my morning routine is really important. So I get up. I do this gratitude thing. By the time I get to the kitchen, take those steps, I can get 10 things in that I'm grateful for. I take my shot to improve. For my gut health, I make my breakfast. I go out now. I get in that cold water pod. I do that for 4 minutes. I can only bear 4 minutes.
Oh, 4 is chunky.
4 is not bad, yeah.
What temperature are we talking?
Well, we're talking, this morning it was 6 degrees. I haven't put ice in it yet, yeah.
But that's the next day. 6 degrees, that is chunky.
Yeah, and I don't put my head under because, you know, the hair and everything, Gary, but I go to here.
Okay. Aren't you meant to dunk your head for the I was going to say parasympathetic, but it's probably because you said it earlier. Isn't there some mammalian response we get?
Yeah, yeah.
But the hair is more important than the mammalian response.
But I will do that on the weekends, like, not during the week, because time is, you know, important.
That great hair doesn't just do itself.
Well, it's just time, you know, time. I'll do my meditation and then, I'll have my breakfast. And I am set up for the day. If I don't do that morning routine, if I don't do all the elements of that, it's not as productive a day for me.
I would agree. I think you have to have structure. You have to have structure and you have to know what you want to do. I'm going to give you €1 million. You can give it to invest in one person or one company. Who is it?
One person or one company. Amy Connolly. She's trying to move into the States now. America's next. Takes a lot of money to conquer America. So maybe €1 million would get one state done first. She's amazing. I love her to bits. And
her name crops up a lot. We're hopefully going to have her on very soon.
Yeah. Well, listen, she's amazing. She's a great girl and she works. She's such a grafter and she deserves all the success she can get. So if I could help her win America, I would do that. Yeah.
Good. If you had to start a new company in the morning, what would it be?
I would do my own range of supplements, I think. Yeah, because I just think it's a very unregulated space. There's a lot of stuff there that doesn't have, it's not doing what consumers think it can do. So it would be a really high quality, science-backed range that would have ingredients in it in a really high quality form at the right dosage and the right delivery system that had synergistic blend of effects. That would just work, That's what I'd do.
I think just, I was only thinking about that yesterday. I was listening to a podcast about supplements and I was like, it's still just the Wild West.
Wild West.
You sometimes still look at the packet and go, not sure. You know, there's still a huge error. I think that would be a flyer. What do you believe other people would strongly disagree with or find strange?
I would say I do speak to a lot of business owners that talk negatively about maybe their people, you know, particularly certain cohorts of maybe the younger demographic, you know, and not realize that people is everything in business. Business is all about people, you know. And I think that some people look at it as nearly their biggest cost base in business rather than their biggest asset. So it infuriates me sometimes conversations I have at, you know, various different networks where some conversations are being had about the people in their business, but it's viewed in, or particularly maybe the younger generation, where it's viewed that, you know, it's a different space whenever actually those are their best asset. Yeah. If they could just reframe it and look and just see if they could just engage in a different way, in order to get the best, the potential from their people.
I find it really interesting now how COVID has fundamentally changed how we work. Mm-hmm. How we still have so much ignorance from business people who are just trying to go back to the old model. You're like, those days have
gone. The world's gone.
Like, I'm sorry, you are living in, they're sitting on their hole at home doing nothing. You're so behind and you're finished because A, you've hired the wrong people. If that's what you believe, truly, genuinely. I think a lot of people are just ignorant. They just go, they're just ignorant of the ways of the world and they just stick their head in the sand and their business just slowly declines. What's the best thing or best experience you've had for €100?
Actually, it was something pretty recently. We went to this place, I don't know if you've ever been to it, called The Barrel. Have you gone there? The Barrel? So they're popping up all over Dublin. So we went to the Greystones one. So it's like you go in, you book a 45-minute session.
Oh, the sauna. Yeah,
it's got a sauna. And then you go into cold water. This is why I bought a cold water pod thingy yeah. because of this experience. So you go hot to cold, hot to cold, hot to cold. And then we went and jumped in the sea. And then we went for pancakes next door, really good pancake shop or whatever, beside it in Greystone. So I'd say for the four of us, it cost, I don't know, less than 100 euros anyway, for sure.
Mm. That was probably the best. Do it every week. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Do you? Yeah. It was a great day, like, you know.
It's magic.
We had a bit of activity, a bit of the cold water therapy. The kids loved it. Lovely pancakes as well.
They help balance.
Crafts, yeah, really good.
Fancy pancakes.
Yeah.
What's your final piece of advice to every entrepreneur listening?
My final piece of advice would be that the world has changed, right? You need to put on a different set of glasses, see the world through a different set and look at, you know, there's challenges every day in business. There's no question we have challenges every single day, but in every single challenge there is an opportunity. So it depends on the perspective that you have. So, you know, sometimes you've got to go through a painful scenario in your business, and I've been through plenty of them, but only for them happening, that allowed us to pivot, change direction, refine what we were at in order to get to next stage growth. Mm. So for every negative thing that happens, every challenge that we're up against, something is going to come out the other side if you believe it to be so. Because whether you think it is true or if you think it is not true, whatever you think is going to become your reality. So have that positive outlook and think something good is going to come out of this. There is an opportunity in here if only I can find it and bloody well find it.
Nothing is good or bad, but thinking it makes it so.
That's it.
Deep, Una. What a way to end. Where can people learn more about you and Maris?
Well, I usually hang out on Instagram quite a lot, an Instagram channel or LinkedIn, or yeah, you can find us on Mars as well. So, but my own personal channel, I would be on there having a yap every day about nonsense.
You're active on Insta. I'm active on Insta. You're super active on Insta.
Yeah, usually. I'm on there every day nearly, yeah.
Perfect. Una, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Pleasure.